Welcome to Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves tonight. I'm going to be talking about riots, specifically at our southern border, but also at Mexico's southern border and other assorted places in the United States and why they're here for a while. This rioting activity, these riots around our country and at our borders, they're not going to stop. I'm going to tell you why. I'm also going to talk about how members of our own Congress are undermining our American immigration policy, are going into Mexico, as Veronica Escobar has been accused of, and helping and having their staff members help coach immigrants to foil our U.S. laws, to defraud our asylum process, to overrun, to break our justice system in the immigration law. And we're going to talk about who those people have been and are currently, which now includes Cory Booker. As you may know, he walked some people over the border after they had been sent to Mexico to wait. And he said, you know what? Mm-mm. So he walked some people over the border. As I told you before, I caught red-handed activists working directly with the group Al Otro Lado, working with the migrants that kidnapped a boy from the Agape shelter, accused by the pastor, not just with the pastor's words. He had video evidence of the kidnapping. He showed me the documents where he reported it, the video where it was reported to the police, the police arrest video, the taking the child back, all of that. I showed you the evidence, the proof. And you know what? I already told you, Congresswoman Nanette Barragan was also up to the same shenanigans 3 months ago. I will share the links to my reports, to my evidence and my proof in the comments of this show. So you can go and watch how in March, months ago, I was already showing you the connections between members of Congress and their staff and the people working for them going into Mexico to undermine our American immigration process. And those folks were not just working closely with Al Otro Lado. They were always also providing drugs to the migrants in the caravan, per Albert Rivera, as well as kidnapping unaccompanied minors. These folks are not just undermining our immigration process. They are committing crimes, and not just small ones. They are committing major crimes against children. They are defrauding our system. They are marrying people. I showed you the evidence of that too. So we're going to talk about how there has been a recent, today, riot at El Chaparral in Tijuana, Mexico. I have video for you of the press conference in the aftermath of these protests and riots, mostly by Congolese immigrants in Tijuana, Mexico. And I will be sharing Oscar El Blue Ramirez's video link tonight so you can go watch the whole reporting that he did and how he captured evidence of the fact that Al Otro Lado volunteers and Border Support Network activists like River Doherty, who was one of the people who was the main person accused of kidnapping and providing drugs to the migrants in the caravan, at it again at the U.S.-Mexico border with Tijuana in Mexico, doing his thing. So we'll show you what they're up to in the Border Support Network, including recent posts from Laura Christina Livingston Berger, another Al Otro Lado, the Crooked Lawyers Group, volunteer, another. And then I will be showing you some of the Border Support Network people in the United States and what they're up to. What are they doing? How are they rioting? And what this means for our law enforcement coming up in the weeks and probably in the months to come. All of that on our program tonight here on A Mexican Crossing Lines. But first, I wanted to thank you for all of you for being here, for sharing this information and show, and for sending me links, comments, questions, phone calls. Much appreciated. I am still on course to go back to Tijuana to meet up with Oscar and do some bang up work down there, reporting to you what's going on in Tijuana, specifically in Tijuana. There's a lot of things that I want to uncover, and Oscar and I are going to be working on that together. So if you want to donate to our fund for the trip to Tijuana, we're hoping that it's going to happen in August.
We hope so.
Yeah. We hope that we will have all of our funding completed and that we'll be making our travel plans in August. So please donate to our Tijuana Travel Fund. Get us down there so we can bring you that news. And Duke, how can folks send us messages and support our work?
Well, you've been doing a pretty good job lately. Lots of messages, lots of information. We do appreciate it. You can send that to the Facebook that, you know, you're watching right now, 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead, or we have the Mexi-Can and the People's Press Project. We also have email, Cindy at kppfm.com, and me, Duke at kppfm.com. You can also tweet us at media_ppp. You can call our message line, leave a recorded voice message at 701-566-0917. And you can go to kppfm.com. That's our main website, and we do have all the shows updated. I got that done over, you know, the weekend and the holiday and all that stuff. But you can go to kppfm.com and have a look under A Mexican Crossing Lines. You can see all the videos and all the audio podcasts that we've taken from the videos. Many of them play in our local community after we edit them. In fact, tonight we're going to have to edit because there's some bad words in there. We can't play that on the air here, but we can do it on Facebook. And you can go there and look at all that stuff and write us messages there. You can do web forms, send us messages there. But also go to kppfm.com/donate. Please make a donation for our work. We do appreciate all the donations. We just got one in the mail, and you know who you are. You've been doing, like, monthly ones, and also someone online's been doing monthly, and you know who you are. And I'm not going to say your names unless you give me permission. So if you want your name mentioned on the air, we could even do it locally. We could even do underwriting for your business here in our local community and get it on the air for thousands of people to hear. Just get a hold of us. Go to kppfm.com/donate/underwriting opportunities. And have a look at what that's all about. But we do have to thank you, because if it wasn't for you, we would not be making the progress we're making and the ability to do this reporting that's covering the whole nation and is going international. And our ability to travel and take this on the road has been wonderful. It's been because of you, our viewers like you, and our listeners like you. So thank you very much for all of that. And please donate.
Guys, I am not going to bury the lead. My contact, Oscar El Blue Ramirez from Border Network News, he contacted me today. He told me about the presence of River Doherty, the kidnapper of the unaccompanied minor that was at the Agape shelter, part of the Border Support Network. He told me that they, along with other activists, attacked Oscar. These people, make no mistake, are violent and criminal, and they have no problem doing these things, including attacking police. I have got wild video to share with you tonight from Salt Lake City, Utah, of one of these Standing Rock activists going all the way back to Standing Rock, which I have been telling folks on my show is where the nexus of all of these paid professional actors, activists, pseudo-activists started. That's where they cut their teeth. And now we know that they're working with members of our own Congress. If you don't know what that news is about, let me share a clip from Fox News to get you up to speed on Veronica Escobar's staff.
It's showing that a Texas Democrat, one of our Democrats from the United States, her name is Veronica Escobar, has been sending members of her staff into Mexico to coach asylum seekers on how to exploit the loopholes in our policy to get folks that have been sent back to Mexico back into the United States. So the new policy of the Trump administration is this remain in Mexico policy, which means if you're waiting for asylum, you're sent back to Mexico to wait. Well, this Veronica Escobar.
Let me understand this.
They're sending U.S. staffers to coach them how to game the system.
So these are staffers that our viewers, you pay their salaries.
Yes.
Tax dollars,
right.
Pay their salaries.
That's the best
and
part.
And you see the congresswoman there. And Democrats, after initially saying this was a quote-unquote manufactured crisis, are at least saying it's a crisis. They say it's a humanitarian crisis. But rather than helping the president, how do we deal with this crisis?
Yes.
How do we fix it? Let's instead use your taxpayer dollars to send federal staffers down into Mexico to coach people on how to continue to exploit the system.
Right. Now, this remain in Mexico policy, what's key here is anyone returned to Mexico must be fluent in Spanish. And the reason is because you have to stay in Mexico up to 5 years and wait until your asylum claims are potentially processed. It could take up to 5 years. She is having her staff go in and try to coach them how to pretend that they don't speak Spanish in order to be able to return. I mean, this is outrageous. Mm-hmm. This is completely obstructing all of the work that we're doing and that the Border Patrol is doing to try to handle the situation, all the work that the president has done in terms of trying to get that cooperation with Mexico that was so pivotal to having this all work out. It's actually outrageous. It's almost unbelievable. I felt like I was being spoofed by The Onion or something when I read this. This can't actually
happen. Well, this is a report from the Washington Examiner. They've got multiple sources. If this is happening, it's fraud.
Well, we reached out to the congresswoman. We haven't heard back yet. We're going to continue to report out the story.
But hold on. If you're telling people you used to speak Spanish, now pretend like you don't so that you can come back.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I mean, what a contrast between the president saying we're going to have borders and a process. And this is the lady who replaced Beto O'Rourke.
That's right.
Look. I wouldn't hold your breath on a response from Veronica Escobar. Let me just tell you, they don't even have half the story. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I shared a link to an article the last time we did my show showing you an opinion piece in a guest opinion piece about Senator Merkley being on speed dial for the crooked al otro lado lawyers, the unscrupulous al otro lado lawyers that are working along with people like River Doherty that's providing drugs to the migrants, that's kidnapping unaccompanied minors. They're planning more actions along the southern border. I'll share that link again for those of you who didn't get a chance to see that. But there's so many other members of Congress that I have been talking about on the show and sharing for you to see they're involved in more than just promoting abolish ICE, obstructing the money needed to deal with this humanitarian crisis, which they have helped to create and which they have denied even existed until very recently. So what's their next move? Well, the Tornillo Occupation Group wants you to save the date to go to El Paso. Here they are promoting an event that's going to be going on in September. So, you know, nightmare awaits. And what does it say there at the top, Duke?
For resistant work connected to the local community and truly rooted in the decolonization, we invite you to save the date for this powerful convergence of intersectional activists, artists, and resistors.
Meanwhile, in Mexico, over the weekend, they put out a moral primer. This is, it comes from evangelical churches, and since I just did a show about faith and how that's going to be playing into all of this, just as it did at Standing Rock, just as it was inserted into the migrant caravan debate at the Tijuana border with all of those clergy that went and got themselves arrested to try to raise the profile of what was happening in that city. And these evangelical pamphlets give, you know, prompts to Mexican people about their conduct, about loving the earth, taking care of the environment, maintaining a respectful marriage. It claims to have universal values. I'm very interested in seeing how these morality pamphlets being handed out to millions of Mexicans will be applied in the coming days and months. What I do know is that since that fateful meeting in Washington between the Mexican delegation and the American people to come up with an agreement on tariffs, which was avoided by Mexico by agreeing that they were going to stem the flow of people through our southern border in a certain amount of time. Remember, they said they were going to give it 90 days at 45 days. I think we probably hit 45 days already, haven't we?
Probably.
If we hadn't done a good job in Mexico, then Mexico was going to go to Congress and request that the process for becoming a third safe country begin. I don't know where that is, but I can tell you that the last time I talked about what was going on at the southern border near Mexico, and in communion with the reporting we saw from Oscar El Blue Ramirez, who went down there, we know people were crossing that Suchiate River like nothing changed. There was no change whatsoever. They said they were sending National Guard down to the southern border of Mexico, but they were really patrolling the roads mostly and not the river. But that has just changed. Let me share a video with you. This comes from patrols that were witnessed at the Suchiate River. I'm not going to be able to translate when the video is playing, or I don't think I will, but let's see how it goes.
You sure can. It's all fixed.
Okay.
Hola, ¿qué tal? Continuamos con este recorrido aquí en la frontera sur.
We're here con on the southern border of Mexico.
Autoridades.
With the authorities you see before you.
La Guardia.
The National Guard.
Quienes están haciendo este recorrido en el paso El Armadillo pegado al puente internacional.
Close to the international bridge.
Uno, como podemos observar, está la policía federal.
And Armadillo. There's
está
the federal police.
Pero a través de la
the
Guardia
Marines
Nacional,
are there.
La policía militar. Y ese es el recorrido que nosotros estamos
police.
Documentando el día de hoy.
We're documenting that today.
Sur de México.
In the southern border of Mexico. And you see a bunch of people that are standing around. This is very
cool. Hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo están?
Hello, how are you guys? There's some people there. How do you see this military display? How do you feel about it? Tell us. I'm not going to, I don't have to film you. You don't even have to look at the camera. Just tell me. How do you feel about this military display? We're affected by it. Why? Well, we can't cross people. We can't sell tickets. That's how we feed our families. But you can cross merchandise. They're not stopping you from doing that, right? Nope. Other people that devote themselves to doing that work? Each one of us crosses around 75 people a day. We can only pass merchandise now. To Guatemala. And from Guatemala to over here, they can't come in? They're not allowing it. Because they don't have papers. They don't have documentation. Are you Mexican? No, we're Guatemalan. Are you legally here? Are you here legally in Mexico? No. No. Yeah, but they told us there was a limit for us of how far we could go from into Mexico. We're allowed to be here on the border. How much are you losing a day? How much were you making? 100 quetzales. 250 pesos approximately. In terms of security, how do you feel about the National Guard? If they're going to stay? The general walks by and he says, we're respecting their labor, the commercial aspects of their businesses in the area. That's correct. So, as you can see, the military presence there is now having an impact on the crossings of people, not merchandise. Merchandise is still going back and forth, but people, And here is another image from a video where we have the balseros and the National Guard. They showed in this military video that I don't have a video for you, but I can share the link to the military video and you guys can go check it out for yourself. They have National Guardsmen stationed along the side of the Suchiate River. Like every so often, they have a whole bunch of these National Guardsmen watching, guarding the crossings in the Suchiate River. As you can see from this story that came from the video where the general that you saw pass by there is giving the press conference and saying what they're stopping and what they're allowing, you can see that it says that there's about 100 balseros, rafters, that work in this area crossing people and things that are now without a job. Se quedaron sin trabajo. That means they lost their employment. And this represents an economic loss for the people in this area. They also say that between 130 migrants, 20 of them from Bangladesh, were rescued, detained, and sent to the Estación Siglo XXI, which is the detention facility on our southern border of Mexico. So things are definitely changing. This has not changed the fact that when people are crossing into the southern border of Mexico, we have had continuing rioting from people on planes, at detention facilities, and now at the U.S.-Mexico border with El Chaparral in Tijuana. Here is an article about the riot I will share with you from Diario Tijuana. In this article, it talks about how Africans rioted at El Chaparral and they demand that their transport be expedited. Their transport, meaning their request to petition for asylum in the United States. Some of them saying they've been in Mexico for 6 months waiting to get into the United States. Many of the citizens from Cameroon rioted at El Chaparral demanding immediate entry into the U.S., saying that they've been at the border for months. And the worst part is that they are accusing the they say that if you have $1,200, you can get across faster. All you have to do is bribe one of the Mexican immigration agents. These are the allegations currently being made. Guess what, folks? The head of the INAMI recently quit, and today that's the general, one of the other people in charge of the INAMI also quit after these accusations were made public. In the following snippets I'm going to show you, you will see part of Oscar El Blue Ramirez's video. I will share the link to the entire video in the comments of my show so you can watch the whole thing. It's 45 minutes long, so I'm not going to share it here. But I did want to show you what Tijuana is dealing with. I'm not going to recreate the wheel here and tell you everything Oscar El Blue did. He did a fantastic job of interviewing people that are displeased, people that are angry, people that were part of the rioting, the protesting, the manifestations that took place there, as well as the activists from the United States working with Al Otro Lado, closely connected to these members of Congress. Take a look.
Try to discuss with the U.S. immigration to see if they can take more numbers per day. No, they did not say they will take this number, because they cannot promise that unless they discuss with them. They cannot say they will start taking 10 numbers, 15 numbers, or 20 numbers.
Have you already talked to them and tell them why they're taking so long with each asylum seeker number and why they're preferring other people than, you know, from other places?
Yes. Let me explain. I'm not giving a press interview.
Okay. Please. Okay. I'm just asking. I'm a citizen of Tijuana. That's why I'm asking. And there's a crisis over here.
I'm talking to Cameroonians for now.
Okay.
That's
good.
If you want later on, we can have a press conference.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm giving a press conference. Yeah. So tomorrow, two people will start here, and they'll be to watch to see the Cameroonians going in. And then, for now, we'll first of all make space for their vehicles to get in, since they have promised us that they will discuss with the U.S.
officials
so that they can take more numbers. You know, I cannot say more people. I said one number.
More numbers,
and
yes.
You know why? Because one number represents
ten people. Yes.
Okay. So, in a nutshell, that is, in summarily, that's what we have been discussing. Even with the police.
Get on my back.
The police chief said,
move on my
if
back.
You also encounter a problem,
move on my back.
You call 911.
You already know what's up over here.
Or you go to Publica.
Police station.
Yeah, to the police station.
Yeah.
Or you call 911, that they can understand English. Because even somebody complains in there, that the
gentleman right here,
the police,
you already know who that is.
From the Eritrean. And you know,
come here to report. Take it easy.
We are talking for all of Africans who are here. Yeah, and so we are talking for all immigrants. And then we'll try to stamp out this incident of buying numbers.
They corrupt all my practices.
And then, for those whose pass,
I will explain right now what he's saying, people, so you guys can know.
If you have lost your pass, or you have, or your pass has expired, you put your name on that list.
Your date of birth.
Your date of birth, your name, and your nationality. And then you make that list, and then we'll give the immigration officer. Then they will see if they can make that.
That's a nice sign. Hello, River. How you doing?
That was the man that assaulted Roger Ogden.
There you go.
It's finished.
Yes. Then our expired passes. Please, I'll ask everybody, like, if you're in a hotel, you can delegate yourselves to each hotel. Right, so those who have expired passes, your name, your date of birth, and your password, so that we can now meet and give them in about 3 days' time.
Okay.
Yeah. So this man is going to talk to the Eritreans.
We were not here to create problems.
To create awareness.
We're not here for problems. So at least our voices have been heard by the officials.
Okay, I'm here. I can talk more.
He's not giving explanations. He just told everybody that, you know, basically they're going to ask for more asylum seeker numbers, and they're going to ask for people to get more numbers because, you know, the timing right now of getting the numbers is really nothing. And I got something right here to tell you. This is River Doherty. This is one of the activists right now. Right here, Yes, move. Right here, this is one of the activists that is accused about trafficking of children, and this is from America right here. Right here, here it is. In our city of Tijuana. ¿Tú parles francés?
No.
Right here. And they're demanding right now asylum seeker numbers. They're demanding right now asylum seeker numbers, yes. Watch out. I'm not playing with you guys. I'm not. You think I'm playing with you guys? I'm not. You guys come here to be activists. You cannot come here to my city and be activists. I'm not playing with you guys. You guys know that. Let me work. You do you, I'll do me. Don't start with me. This is the crisis right here. This is all the activists. And I just told them, like, I'm not playing with you guys. And there's River Doherty over there. Over there, that the one that is trafficking. And this guy is always over here. I'm not playing with him. They already know that I'm not playing with him. This is the crisis right now. As you can see, people, there's people from the National Guard right here. From the National Guard right here, guarding every place. River, give me an answer on the kid that you trafficked, the 12-year-old kid. Talk to me about that. Talk to me about that accusation. This is our American activist, people. Can you talk to me about that accusation, please? Why are you over here again? Come on, just talk to me, man. I just want to talk. Why are you over here, River? Again. We know that you're here now. Do things right. Do things right. Do things right. You heard me. You already know what time it is.
No, they don't, Oscar. They don't care. they've been doing their crimin' in Mexico for months now, coaching these migrants, lying to them about their ability to get asylum in the United States, keeping unaccompanied minors in underground apartments. God only knows if they were giving this one unaccompanied minor that River Doherty kidnapped drugs, including methamphetamines. That's what the pastor reported to the news. Multiple news outlets in Mexico shared this story. And yet, there they are again, acting with impunity, giving the middle finger literally to the media in Mexico and saying, we're not going anywhere. We're going to keep being in your city, committing fraud, fake marrying people, passing out drugs, hiding children in apartments. By the way, folks, by the way, the Agape Shelter pastor told me way back then that he talked with Jeff Merkley. Senator Merkley was told about those underground apartments where unaccompanied minors were kept by American activists from the Border Support Network. What has he done other than go on Meet the Press and talk about a bunch of nonsense in terms of what our policies are, pushing for the kinds of actions that these activists are taking and trying to stimulate other Americans based on their anger, based on their outrage of this manufactured crisis, that folks are going to go out and riot, that folks are going to go out and hurt other people. I want you to see in another video taken by Tijuana News how River is lurking. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. Lurking around the border entry point in Tijuana at El Chaparral and using, as we saw in the Patriot Fire video with Roger Ogden, blogger and community journalist Roger Ogden, who was in Tijuana also filming. They carry around a cart that has a tub of oatmeal that they give out for free. This is the guise that they have under which they operate out in the open while they assault media people, while they threaten American bloggers, Mexican media, and commit crimes with impunity. Check out this other video from Tijuana News. Did they give you a response? He's asking some migrants that are sitting there. There's River Doherty all the way to the right, leaning up against the sign. Says we're here at the port of entry, Chaparral. Over 100 people have been returned to Mexico under the return to Mexico policy. They're Central Americans. They went into the U.S. to request asylum. They have an appointment for November, but they were returned to Mexico to wait, and they have nowhere to go. So they're basically wandering around without any place to go at the Chaparral border entry point. This is a situation with people being returned currently where hundreds of people at a time even can be returned. As you can see, there's just people sitting there. There's the little cart. Mm-hmm. Do you see that? Yeah. It said avena. Avena is the word for oatmeal. And gratis is the word for free. So they're giving away free oatmeal to the migrants. But that's not the only thing they're doing.
It's just a front. It's a front.
Exactly. That's the front for them to give out legal advice for Al Otro Lado and to coach people that are there. And these are folks that I know don't have a law license. I know don't have a paralegal license or certification or training. They may have gotten some kind of know your rights training from Al Otro Lado lawyers and volunteers. But what they're doing with it, as I've shown you and my shows, is committing fraud and inducing others to do so. And frankly, these are the same folks. Let me show you the stills. Here's River, in case you missed it in that video. Here's River standing against the pharmacy sign. And here he is in the oats sign. With the oats sign. And his friend there in the orange cap is the same guy that broke a cutting board on American blogger Roger Ogden.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
How are these folks getting away with it? I don't know. Do you remember that video? Let me show you some pictures from the date. Here's some still photos. This is River Doherty on the date that that blogger was assaulted. The guy in the red shirt sitting down on the ground is the man that assaulted Mr. Ogden. Here's the second picture after Mr. Ogden, I believe, had pepper sprayed them, where the guy in the red shirt is cleaning his eyes and River is giving him water or something to do it with. And let me just share with you what what volunteers like River and this guy who assaulted a man really do, what they do. Here's Lolly's most recent post in the Border Support Network, advising migrants about their possibilities for asylum. This girl can't stop lying. She's like, thanks to IndocuBlack Network. Saw this on their Instagram account about IndocuBlack, and then it shows a quote, which once again attempts to obfuscate the very low number of people that actually obtain asylum overall in this country, which is currently at 3%. On my shows, I've been very generous and said less than 10% of people will get asylum. But Lolly's been lying to people ever since she went into Mexico, along with Jake Lee Harris, along with Doug McLean, Kei Kurimoto, all of these volunteers, all of these people working with the Border Support Network alongside Al Otro Lado. And they know that they are putting people in the United States into detention facilities, overcrowding the facilities, all for naught. Here it is, in their own words, once again, lest you forget. They know what they're doing.
Can we guess how many would get it?
I feel like I heard 20%, but I don't know if that's...
Yeah, like basically it's not...
20 or 30 maybe, but...
Like it's a low percentage. I don't feel of like all the people that we've been working with, all the people that are applying, the sad truth is that they will not all get asylum. Like most of them won't get asylum. So... It's pretty heavy.
What do you think, Duke? Is it heavy?
Oh, it's really heavy. Pretty heavy. And the door creaks. You know, it's basically the Grim Reaper coming for her. But they put that on long. This is when they were doing education of people and giving them all these hopes. And then they do a side video saying, well, you know, mostly people aren't going to get in. Pretty much none of them.
Yep.
And then they go back as trying to find housing for people and trying to, well, supposedly... to raise money for all these things they were doing, and yet they were promoting a lost cause and basically having these people have false hope. I think that's disgusting, you know, that for them to be doing that. We play this video a lot because it's a reminder that they're influencers, and they've been putting out messages. Now they're coming back and putting out messages now for the current things because it's all about them getting in and bringing the messages and then driving the money towards things. So they're back.
Listen. When you have a massive amount of people crossing borders, and it's not just people, you know it's also things, and some of those things are weapons, and some of those things are drugs. You know this. Massive amounts of drugs are pouring over our southern border and into Mexico and into the United States. And when you have all of this movement, that means billions of dollars in business. Everybody's going to want a cut. I can't imagine how we don't hear more stories of corruption within our Border Patrol agents, within Mexico's Border Patrol agents. I think there's a certain amount of people that are going to fall prey to bad behaviors in this environment, which is rife for the picking, rife for that kind of corruption. And I wanted to point that out because there's a lot of outrage about the Facebook posts that people made in some kind of ICE connected or Border Patrol connected chat group that people are very upset about. In Mexico, people are very upset about, and as you saw, are even rioting about the bribes being taken by members of the immigration agents in Mexico. And in fact, it's been caught on camera. Televisa did a report in which they showed one of the agents or office staff administrators working with INAMI in the southern border of Mexico offering to speed up the wait for one family in exchange for some cash. Here's that video.
El Instituto Nacional de Migración y ante la Comisión Mexicana de Ayuda a Refugiados, la COMAR, se está tardando meses.
COMAR is taking months to help refugees.
La desesperación de los migrantes y les ofrecen agilizar los trámites.
Sometimes they offer to help them in exchange for money.
Y no me puede llevar directamente con el licenciado. Mira, es que
could you take me directly with a lawyer?
Ah, tiene que ser contigo.
I have to deal with you.
Mira, no te desesperes. Yeah.
Don't get desperate. I'll talk to him.
Ella dice llamarse Alejandra y trabajar en la
she says her name is Alexandra, and that she works in Tapachula's INAMI, and when she was outside making lists. Give me your name. I'll put it in.
Alejandra, y otra mujer
Alejandra and another woman offer to reduce the amount of wait time down to 20 days. You can come in as a refugee or with Mexican nationality. Mexican nationality? But if you want that, it has a cost. Tell me the cost. What are they? Honduran. So then, how long? It would be 20 days. This agreement is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from the immigration offices. How can I believe you and trust you that you'll actually follow through? Are you going to write it down? Are you going to give me an IOU? No, it'll be personal. What about the money? No, that has to be personal. They're worried about fraud, so they ask something in writing. How do we have any assurance? You're turning over money, a certain amount, and you're going to have a receipt. But that doesn't guarantee me anything, just your word. And you're telling me that you work with the agents of INAMI. The two women request discretion so that they don't lose their jobs. Look, it's very delicate inside. And how do I know that you guys are going to keep the secret too? I mean, we could lose our jobs. Nobody wants to lose their job right now. I don't want to hurt someone else and tell you who I'm working with inside, because then I don't want you to hurt him either. This is happening in the door, close to the door of the authorities of immigration. Okay, folks, I just showed you. It's happening. Not a surprise. President AMLO said they had just fired around 500 and some agents and that more firings were coming. Mexico is dealing with its corruption. Mexico has always had corruption. AMLO inherited a lot of it. He inherited it, but he's trying to do a good job of getting rid of it. As I've shown you, there has been incremental change and improvement, not only in shoring up Mexico's southern border, also with getting rid of corruption, stopping trailers full of migrants going into known locations where they are housed in hotels by the hundreds. And I still don't know if it's going to be enough. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., we have Border Support Network activists that are effing things up. I don't know what else to call it. I'm sorry that I had to say it that way, but that is what they're doing. And for what reason, I still don't know. In Salt Lake City, Utah today, a series of protests and events took place, all, believe it or not, in response to the Port Authority trying to open an inland port for the community. And somehow it turns into a protest by these Border Support Network people against the poisoning and caging of brown and black people. What one has to do with the other, I have no freaking clue. Maybe you can explain it to me. Here's a clip of their beginning protest. In this clip you're about to see, they're dressed as, I don't know, a bird, some other kind of animals, and they're beating on drums, making noise with noisemakers, and jumping around. Take a look. They're also holding a sign that says, this is environmental racism. Is that a buffalo?
I think so.
I don't even know what the other animals are. I'm like, what is that? And then it went from that to people locking themselves down like they did at Standing Rock, like they have at many other of their protests, outside of banks, etc. I'll show a clip here so you can get an idea of what they were up to in terms of the lockdown. Are these people saying abort the port?
That's what I thought. I was trying to figure that out.
How did abortion get involved in this conversation?
Abort the port.
I swear to God, these people are cray cray. This was posted in the Border Support Network page by one of this person. One of these person's videos was posted in the Border Support Network page. The others I got directly from her Facebook page, and I will show you her Facebook page in just a minute. But next, I want to show you the video that was posted in the Border Support Network page. Remember, these people are Antifa connected, anarchist connected leaders. Those are the people that formed the Border Support Network, and Sherry Foytlin is one of them. In the video you are about to see, which I have clipped down, I will share the video link for you to check out the whole thing for yourselves. Here is Sherry's video. And in this video that you are about to see, they start out inside. The police are trying to get folks outside of the building they were protesting inside of. And there is a lot of chanting. The chanting goes from complaining to attacking the police. I'll try to narrate a little as we go here. Take a listen for yourselves. Now she's doxing one of the officers, saying his name, reading his name tag so it'll be on the... Is it me, or does she cackle like a Disney witch?
Yeah.
There were five people that were locked upstairs. I heard locked down upstairs. I heard that the cops have broken one of their arms. I don't know if that's true. It may have been a phone. I just want to tell you what's going on from what I'm hearing. This is in Salt Lake City, Utah. Salt Lake City. The Chamber of Commerce is imprisoning brown children. They are poisoning brown communities and black communities. And we're here to say it's enough of it. Was that helpful, Elise? But the truth of the matter is that they're killing babies. And what we have to do is match what they're doing to us or what they're doing to our kids. We can't do it with a petition. We can't do it in a march. You got to get in the street and shut these people down. Stop their money.
I'm not joking. This was all about the Port Authority opening up a port for commerce. But I'm not joking. That's what this is. And they turned it into a circus because that's what they do. Don't you get it? They're a bunch of paid actors and protesters that go and mess things up. They F things up. That's what they're paid to do. It's their modus operandi, folks. Let me show you. And I have to share with you that there was a video that was live streaming that happened after this video where this woman is right at the forefront of attacks on an elderly photographer slash reporter. And I told Duke, mm-hmm. you got to get this video. Grab this link. Get ready to download it. We have to get this video. This shows you the violent criminal behavior against media and our law enforcement that these people regularly engage in. No problemo. And she took it down. Yeah. She didn't even load it up. I think that she deleted the video and because she knew she had captured her own crime. Sherry Foytland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For those of you who are wondering, this took place in Salt Lake City, Utah. But this woman gets around, okay? These are professional pseudo-activists, mercenary activism, as Professor Correa Cabrera called it. And now you see why. Mercenaries for the hire. Who do you want me to go beat up? Okay, that cop over there. You're a baby murderer. Abort the port.
I don't.
Cops and Klans go hand in hand. And there you have it, folks. You get this craziness. Here's Sherry's Facebook profile so you can check it out for yourself. Did I miss a video?
Yeah, you didn't do the second video.
Oh, there's the second video. Let me share with you another. Is this second video the one inside where they're trying to get out? Let's take a look. Yep, this is the one where the officers are trying to get them out of the building. And the guys in the yellow, those are officers. They're now being assaulted by the protesters, as you can see, slapping, hitting. After officers were assaulted, as you could clearly see in this video, arrests did take place. Things got crazy. It's mayhem. If you're listening to this on the radio, it's very hard for me to describe because there's a bunch of what looks like very angry Border Support Network, Standing Rock style hippie people fighting with the police.
Mm-hmm.
And holding signs and holding up cameras. There's Sherry Foytland again. That's her voice saying, please share. Where's the children, Duke? Do you see the children?
I don't see any children.
I thought they got aborted by the port. Or with the port. I don't know.
That's right.
They're professional rioters.
Yep.
And you'll notice that a vast majority of these are angry white people
mm-hmm.
that say, we're fighting for brown people. Check our people. See if they're okay. Okay? That's what an organizer says. Yeah. I'm hearing, she says, they broke someone's arm. She talks in her other videos. I'm still hearing there's this many people. They're locked up. She knew the whole operation, mm-hmm. soup to nuts. That's because she's one of the people helping organize it.
Exactly.
They don't have problems getting their hands dirty. And by that, I mean kicking some butt, assaulting some officers, committing some crimes, just like River Doherty. Just like Escobar's staff, just like Nanette Bergan's staff, persons working with Al Otro Lado, they made their bed. They're in the bed. They're not getting out of the bed. They're cozy. Let me show you a clip from KUTV that shows that video that Sherry Foytland didn't even upload. It was so awful. It showed her being a criminal, just yell, you know, screaming, saying horrible things to the photographer slash blogger slash, you know, community journalist that was there. And in the end, she deleted the video, took it, you know, never uploaded it. Instead, I have to show you clip from KUTV's footage where just as they were going to end their live stream reporting on this riot that you just saw and the arrests, where Sherry Feuchtlin's voice can be heard among the fray of those beating up an elderly photographer blogger. You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Here's that KUTV clip. He's interviewing another reporter whose hands are shaking as she also exits the building where those arrests just happened. Right. Here she is.
I'm doing a Facebook Live. You were inside, right?
Yes, I was.
How was that?
It was actually pretty scary.
Like, elaborate just for 10 seconds.
I got a little shaky. You probably saw my Facebook Live because it was, you know, the police and the protesters collided. And they were trying to push them out. The lobby was super full of the protesters. And the police started trying to push them out of the lobby. And the protesters obviously didn't like that. So it got violent.
I use the word, that. Like, was anyone arrested that you saw?
Yes. I saw multiple people get arrested, thrown to the ground, put in handcuffs, taken out, you know. And it was, I mean, it was difficult. Like, the, you know, there's probably 10 to 15 police officers against quite a few protesters. So, I mean, they had to, like, build a wall and push them out. So,
Have you ever seen anything like that in Salt Lake City before?
No, not in Salt Lake. I've been in Austin, so I saw a lot of protests, but never have I seen anything like that in Salt Lake. And I've worked here for a year and a half. I actually haven't been to a lot of protests, so that was pretty intense.
All right.
I got a little nervous.
Tell us when you're on TV tonight.
I'm going to be on all the shows, 4:35 and 6, so we'll be out here. It seems like it's calming down a little bit, some people are filtering out. But we'll have that video because we were in there and my co-talker.
Cool. Oh, Matt was in there too?
Yeah.
We've been watching Matt.
I was
so everyone knows Matt now.
I was behind him because he's a lot bigger guy. And I got a little scared because I didn't want to get in the middle of that. So, yeah.
We're glad you're all right.
Us out too. So,
all right.
Yeah, that was the experience I had. I heard there's some people that were up on like the 18th floor that were all chained together. I don't know if they're out yet. But I don't think they're getting them out on the bus.
Yeah, they're going to, and then they didn't.
Yeah, right? I think they're getting a new game plan, but I'm sure they're not going to tell us what that is.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Yes.
All right, everybody. So this has gone on long enough. Just last time to wrap it up in case you're motivated to go back and watch from the beginning. Well, just every time we think it's wrapping up, something's going on. Inland Port proposed for Salt Lake City. Some people in Salt Lake City, including some city leaders, are opposed to this
That's
port.
That's Sherry Feuchtlin's voice.
They're harassing a photographer for some reason. Oh, now there's violence.
They assaulted that photographer.
Well,
you can hear her voice.
Hey, stay away. Stay away from me.
Is this how it's going to be? You're going to attack the media! You're going to attack the media! Really?
We're covering
really?
The podcast. It's a public stream.
Whoa.
The other video, that the one that she took down, you were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot more intense. There was the hitting, and you could see the elderly man being punched. And
on the ground and rolling around.
On the Yeah, I mean, it was horrifying. That's why she removed it. That's why she didn't let it exist. But
yep.
Sherry, let me show you what she looks like, because I'm sure you're all dying to know. What's Sherry look like?
Who is she,
Cindy?
Yeah.
Who is she?
Who is this?
She doesn't have a whole, I mean, most of the stuff on her is not pictures of herself on her Facebook. But this is her. No, it's not the Native American looking one with a big sign in front of her. It's the one with the red, burgundy looking wine colored shirt and a grayish tan tunic that has the black fringe on it. She's wearing glasses. She is one of the three women in the center of this photo, and she is the one wearing glasses, and she's also got some dimples in her face. Okay, that's Sherry Feuchtlin.
All right.
But Sherry as I told you, is part of the Border Support Network, and she works very closely with the environmental Indigenous Environmental Network. What is it called? EIN?
Yeah. Environmental Indigenous Network.
No, it's Indigenous
Environmental Indigenous Network.
Indigenous Environmental Network. With Candy Mossett White, with Dallas Goldtooth, with Joy Braun, with the Tom Goldtooth. And as I showed you, those folks are all working very closely with members of Congress like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those members of Congress are all up in this. Here's a picture of Sherry with Juan Macias and Frankie Oruna and other people that are part of the American Indian Movement.
I see.
And the connections between the American Indian Movement and the Carrizo Come Crudo tribe.
Mm-hmm.
The landless tribe, the not federally recognized tribe of the Carrizo Come Crudo. The Indigenous Environmental Network, as you know, played a central role at Standing Rock, as did the other organizations, which some of which have been getting sued lately, like Winona LaDuke's Honor the Earth, mm-hmm. and the crooked lawyers groups like the WPLC, the Water Protector Legal Collective. Sherry's friends with all of them. She even got one of the tattoos. She's here sporting her Lo A La V Mini Wachoni tattoo. And of course, she is also connected to the people that were posting pictures of themselves with the hashtag Families Belong Together. You can see her on her Facebook page taking the photos of these people that were taking these signs that said abolish ICE, hashtag mm-hmm. families belong together.
Yep.
That I showed you not too long ago were the running a banner at the top of the Indigenous Rising Media Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I said, folks, this is about Indigenous issues. This page is from Standing Rock's media groups connected to the Indigenous Environmental Network. And all of a sudden, it's talking about abolish ICE. That's all it's talking about. Look, it's even the same lady, Duke.
Yep, it is.
As the same lady holding the same sign in Sherry Foytlin's pictures. That's how close she is to this. She works directly with them. She's one of those folks. But she's not just close to the Indigenous Environmental Network. She's got friend in high places, like recently bringing people over the border, Cory Booker. Here she is with him. She knows Cory. Mm-hmm. This ain't the only picture of Cory she has either, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here's Sherry's daughter hanging out with Al Gore.
Wow.
They just keep popping up, these same folks, okay? Are you getting tired of me showing you the same politicians and the same people connected to the Nexus group, connected to the people that framed an Indigenous woman at Standing Rock, that put another Indigenous woman in an early grave? Here is Sherry and her daughter with Entertainer Common.
Wow.
Common's, we got L.A. up in here. We got mm-hmm. Hollywood up in here, too. And here she is with none other than the La Llorona, as I call her, the one that cried in all the videos to get people to give money to come to Standing Rock, Wania Locke, mm-hmm. La Llorona. She cries those big fat tears for money. Here's Sherry with Naco Bear, the musician that you've seen with Doug McLean and mm-hmm. all of these other Hollywood people at these events. And here, of course, is Winona LaDuke. Couldn't be missed. And guess who else she took pictures with? She was hanging out at camp, I'm sure, with Vanessa Bolin, one of the paramedics that lied to law enforcement and said sent Mary Trujillo, the daughter of Kathleen Bennett, to a hospital without any reason for her to go, so that she could die. She left an 82-year-old grandma with dementia in a hospital to die. She developed bed sores. She became non-ambulatory thanks to fake paramedic Vanessa Boland, seen in this photo wearing her glasses all the way on the left of the photo, all the way on the left, just above the woman that's sitting on the ground with blue hair. Okay. That is Vanessa Boland. She's also friends with Sherry. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Sherry has all of the criminals on her friends list. And she wasn't just hanging out with them recently. Today in Salt Lake, she's been hanging out with these same folks for years and years. Here she is with Juan Mancias in 2017. Here she is with Frankie Oruna and Dallas Goldtooth. Here she is with Fixico Akichita, except he don't call himself that no more.
Oh, really?
There's Fixico. His Fixico still playing Indian.
Yep.
He's actually like Laura Christina Livingston mm-hmm. Berger. I did a whole show about Fixico and his wealthy family. He was on a reality TV show. Wait for it, guys. For fashion.
Oh, yeah.
This guy makes dresses. He made one for himself. Yes, Fixico. Don't you miss him?
Oh, yeah.
All of these standard bearers. And, of course, Joy Braun had to come into focus in these pictures. Also of the Indigenous Environmental Network. Same people over and over and over again. Are you wondering if she was at Standing Rock? Oh, hell yes, she was at Standing Rock. And she's got the tattoos and the pictures to prove it. Folks, I know firsthand, and the people of North Dakota know firsthand, what happens when you bring these activists, these really mercenary activists, to your town. Blood, riots,
mm-hmm.
fraud. People are going to be sent to jail innocently. People are going to be hurt. And unfortunately, the forecast is riots on the horizon for weeks, if not months. I've shown you at the beginning of my show, they're going even into September. Stay tuned to A Mexican Crossing Lines so we can continue to expose these frauds, these phonies, these activists that are hurting America and Mexico. Thank you for being with us tonight on A Mexican Crossing Lines here on 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo, Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Say goodnight, Duke.
I say goodnight, Duke.
Buenas noches.